Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. You know, you're thinking about investing in multifamily real estate. Your friends are doing it. So why not jump off that bridge? One of my really, really, really esteemed colleagues, Travis Watts, will be joining us today to talk about whether or not it's a good bridge to jump off of. Frankly, I've done it, and I think you should do it too. But you want to understand why multifamily has its pros. Are there any cons? And you're a smart real estate investor, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So you have to ask the tough questions of why, your investing personality, and exactly where multifamily fits into your overall portfolio. And just because you have everybody else jumping into multifamily investing doesn't mean that you should. Or let's be real, if you're a doctor and you have $500,000 to invest and you're like, ha-ha, I meet the accredited investor criteria, doesn't mean that you should be investing at all. So nonetheless, I'm excited to have this conversation with Travis because he's been there, he's done that. His fund, I think they've got $1.5 billion under management, which is insane, or assets under management, which is crazy to me. So before we connect with Travis, want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's show, Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator and ready to learn how to go big and fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition education company who's here to help you invest for your family's future every step of the way. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. All right, Travis, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
Avi, thanks for having me, man. I'm doing great.
Hey, you got it. Dude, I've been I've been following you guys for many years now. You're nothing short of a crazy awesome success story. 11,000 units acquired, 1.4 billion assets under management, 38 communities throughout Texas and Florida. It seems like that's your niche, those two markets. I kind of want to talk about that because I think there's a secret there that you would love to share. $450 million in equity that's invested, and over 3,000 investors. It's on your site. Super cool. We were talking before the show. I've got to show people. Yep, that's you. That's you with the pointy fingers. It's great. Yeah, I love it, man. Let's start with this super easy question. 2020. What was the difference between 2020 for you and 2021? What was the shift in strategy?
Wow. Yeah. No, that was a huge one. So I think we were all really concerned come March, April, May, June. That was really kind of the scary time. What's going to happen with anything and with everything, right? Including obviously investments and multifamily. Are people going to just quit paying rent? Is everyone just going to move out? What's going to happen? So, you know, we had to prioritize safety, obviously. We had to now follow these new guidelines and these mask mandates. And, you know, I think a lot of operators, including Ashcroft, paused renovations. Some groups paused distributions just to be conservative, make sure, you know, to see how this is all going to play out. And then we started to see that really, on paper, if you didn't know there was a pandemic happening, you didn't see much of a fluctuation in most cases, including our portfolio. And I'm also speaking broadly because I invest with a lot of different groups as a limited partner in multifamily syndications. What I mean is, let's say our occupancy and collections was up around 95% pre-COVID. It may have fallen down to 91, 92, sometimes maybe even 90, but it wasn't this massive fluctuation and this mass exodus of renters and people not paying and things like that. So obviously a lot of scary headlines on the news, but in reality, not quite the same reality and perspective that I had. So 2020 was kind of that pause, wait, see, and cautiously proceed forward. 2021's been an explosion. I mean, I think we all know about the single family housing market, inflation, the cost of lumber. I mean, everything's just, pent up demand, so to speak, in a lot of different ways. That also carries over to the multifamily side too. So we're seeing a lot of transaction volume happening. Really though, again, on paper, we're not doing anything different in 2021 that we really didn't do in 2020. So we're just cautiously, moving the ball forward. Still think, personally speaking, multifamily is a great asset class to be in. I think it was, when I first got started in it, and I think it is today. I continue to invest, but to your point earlier, as a disclaimer, it's not for everybody. So that's kind of what we're talking about today and what might some of the cons be, et cetera.
Where do you see multifamily in 2022, 2023, 2024, kind of in the next couple of years? Do you still see the opportunities being really difficult to find? Are they going to be easier to find? It seems like everybody that kind of runs in our circle seems to be either a GP or an LP in some multifamily deals. There seems to be a lot of explosion, as you mentioned, this year in 2021 in multifamily and folks that are investing in it. Are there still more deals to be had? Are the sellers of these multifamily apartment complexes thinking, well, hey, it's the height of the market. Let me just drive down this cap rate. Now everybody's paying, you know, a serious penny for it. What are generally your thoughts about the future?
Sure. Yeah. Well, obviously don't have a crystal ball, but happy to share a few thoughts that I think about as a limited partner investor, which is, you know, to your point, cap rates have continued compressing. Interest rates have come down. You know, I'm talking about since I first started investing in syndications, which was around 2015, returns, yield, cash flow has been just trickling down the whole time. So I don't see like a massive difference all of a sudden in 2021. It's still on the same trajectory. And the thing that I think about, Avi, is that here's how I look at it as an investor. I think if I don't invest in multifamily, if I don't invest for cash flow and passive income, what are my alternatives then? What else am I going to do with my capital? Well, I'm the kind of person that lives on passive income, so that's obviously important to me. And when I go look at what's my bank going to pay me, you know, 0.1%, what's a bond going to pay me, 1 or 2%, you know, treasuries, annuities, CDs, you know, all these other things that give interest or dividends or distributions, even blue chip stocks in the stock market, you know, 1, 2, 3% maybe. So even though cap rates have compressed, even though interest rates have come down, even though everyone's chasing real estate in general and multifamily specifically, I'm still able to capture a yield that to me makes sense. It's still a higher yield than I'm getting in other places. I still see the asset class as a conservative kind of play. But again, not everyone agrees with me. Not everyone would see it that way. But that's kind of my forecast. So the path we're on right now, Avi, is that it keeps getting more competitive, you know, and to your point, cap rates continue to compress. And I've always said this, and I still, you know, stand by it. You know, if it comes to the point where it absolutely doesn't make sense, in other words, I'm taking on way too much risk compared to the potential reward I might get from investing, then I'm out. I'm going to have to pivot. I don't know what that looks like. But again, to my point of the perspective, what if all your alternatives were yielding negative, for example? Now, I don't necessarily believe we're going to go down that path, but if you put your money in the bank and you had to pay the bank, or you buy a bond and you're losing money, well, then maybe a 2% yield off multifamily is still kind of lucrative. So you always kind of got to look at your surrounding things. Obviously, if I could go make 6 to 8% in the bank like we used to be able to, I would just go do that. It's a lot safer play, but that's not the world that we live in today in 2021.
So we're talking about yields, right? We talk about anywhere between 8, 9, 10%, 11, 12% potential pref, potential waterfall, depending on the opportunity, depending on the operator, the GP-LP relationship. What are you generally finding as you invest in other LPs or as an LP in other funds and other opportunities? What are you finding to be like your sweet spot? Are you looking for a particular pref, a preferred return? Are you looking for a particular waterfall over a period of 5 years? Is your capital locked in for 5, 7, 10 years? Or do you require it to be relatively liquid and you're willing to take a little less of a waterfall, maybe a little less of a pref? How do you compute that in your brain for somebody? And this is specifically a question for somebody that is high net worth, that's thinking, well, I've been presented with a crap ton of opportunities. How the hell do I pick?
It's a great question. A lot of folks, including myself, have been caught up in analysis by paralysis. And it's to your point. It's what about this and what about that? And did you think about this? And what's their fee structure? And what's the waterfall? And what's their track record? So I always suggest get some education. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to go do these super expensive courses or seminars and pay tens of thousands of dollars. Read a book. You know, there's some great books out there. Obviously, Joe Fairless wrote the best ever apartment syndication book several years back. Brian Burks wrote the Hands-Off Investor. These books advocate due diligence. They explain to you what you might want to look for in a deal and what a conservative deal looks like versus an aggressive underwritten deal. So I think that's the first step. And then what I always say is you've got to look at your own goals. What is it that you yourself are trying to accomplish? And the way I do it is I just reverse engineer. So you got, everybody's different. So you got two main types of people with two main types of goals. You have more of an equity goal. So this is someone saying, look, I just want to build up my net worth. I want to be worth whatever, $3 million by age 50. And then I'm going to pull the plug. I'm going to retire and I'm going to go live my life that way. Then you've got someone else saying, someone more like myself saying, well, I want whatever, you know, $10,000, $15,000 a month in cash flow and passive income so that I can switch to part-time work, or I can stop working my W-2 job, or I can actually pivot to a career that I'm more passionate about. So these are vastly different goals, and how that pans out to your criteria is someone like myself might be looking at Class B pre-existing multifamily with a value add business plan with monthly distributions, with a 7 or 8% pref, with a 3 to 5 year hold period, you know, this kind of stuff. Somebody with that other goal of 3 million net worth that could care less about cash flow, they might be doing new development deals where their money's tied up for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, no cash flow to be had, higher risk, higher reward, different markets, et cetera. So you really got to start with yourself and your goals and do a little bit of self-reflection. And that's where I've had all the breakthroughs, you know, in my career is when I sat down, I got serious, I wrote it down and I said, this is really what's important to me. This is why I do what I do. And then I reverse engineer back to what do I invest in then?
So a lot of folks will also ask like, hey, how do I get filthy rich with multifamily investing, right? Because that's just like the obvious question. I want to get filthy rich. That's it. Like, as a high net worth individual, here's $1 million, here's $500,000. How do I turn that $500,000 into a lifestyle that exceeds what I can imagine? Whether it's, I want to fly first class everywhere, whether it's, I want to pay for a vacation abroad now that borders are opening back up, or have opened back up. And whatever the definition of getting filthy rich is for you, how do you use multifamily as a vehicle to do that? Is it going all in on one operator? Is it spreading your risk across the United States with different operators? How do you suggest doing that?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head. What is your definition of rich, first of all, and calculating what your ideal lifestyle looks like, first of all, and then to recognize two things. One, big difference between rich and wealth. So I don't really envy rich. Rich has more to do with income. So say I'm a highly paid actor or actress or whatever, you know, that kind of individual making $10 million a film, that kind of stuff. Yeah, they're rich, right? An NBA player. Yeah, they make a lot of income. They have a lot of money, but that doesn't mean that they're wealthy. Wealthy has to do with your assets. It has to do with passive income. It has to do with businesses, real estate, things that you own, where the cash flow, dividends, and interest and royalties are exceeding your lifestyle expenses. So to me, that's my definition. And so I'm more inclined to go towards how do I get wealthy, not necessarily how do I get rich. But to answer your question, so I'm a limited partner, meaning, you know, and I do this for the lifestyle preference. You know, my wife and I, we like to travel. We like to be leisurely. We don't like to be tied down to one particular area and have all these obligations. So we're limited partners, meaning we rely on other people to go find these deals, to underwrite these deals, to manage these deals and put, you know, construction crews on these deals and make these business plans, you know, come to life. You know, that's not me. I'm not doing anything active. I'm the passive investor, they're being active, you know. So with that comes a trade-off to your point. It's that I'm probably getting a significantly lower overall return than the person who's actually out there doing all the work. That's called a general partner. So the general partner obviously needs to be compensated for finding the deals and for working full-time and for putting them together and for raising capital and for doing everything that they do. So I'd say if you're more inclined to go the rich path, then perhaps being a general partner doing your own syndications could be an accelerated path in that direction. If you're looking to be wealthy and have more passive income than lifestyle expenses, you might consider being a limited partner, which is what I do. But it's just a difference in preference, and that's how I see it.
We're totally talking the same language. Like, I'm a huge believer in passive income. Like, that is, you are talking my world. And there are a lot of folks that whether you're W-2'd, you're making a lot of money in your job, or you have a business or two or three and you're taking down a lot of W-2 income, or maybe it's a little bit of W-2 and it's a lot of K-1, whatever that looks like, you work hard for the money that you earn and the money that you make. Your money needs to be working just as hard, if not harder, than you do. And that's why I love the formula. I think you're right on path. But I think the filthy rich conversation is a good one to continue to have, though, for sure. Pros and cons of multifamily. There are a lot of folks that say, hey, I like my single family, I like your multifamily. Two completely different views of the world. Two completely different things. One is super liquid, or more liquid than multifamily in this case. What are some of the pros of, you know what? What are some of the cons of multifamily? Because I think we all know what the pros are, but let's start with the cons.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way, anyone who's not familiar with my story, I did 6 years of active single family investing. I flipped homes. I did vacation rentals. You know, I did the house hacking thing early on. I did a lot of things that were me trying to do it all. And I burned myself out is what happened. And so the latter 6 years has been being a passive investor in multifamily syndications. The thing that stands out to me the most about why someone might say, yeah, I don't, you know, multifamily may not be for me, is lack of control. You know, as I just mentioned, I'm not the one that's finding the properties, that's underwriting them, that's managing them, that's doing the construction. I'm leaving that to an expert to take care of. And if that expert turns out not to be an expert, or that expert starts making decisions that I think, man, I wouldn't do that, that could pose a problem. You know, so if you're the kind of person that thinks, I'm the person who does it right, I do it my way, and it's my way or the highway, well, then being a limited partner may not be right for you, because you're going to have to put capital in something you may not see for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, perhaps, and you're relying fully on someone else to take care of it. And also, to your point, it's not liquid. You know, so I'm a younger guy. So, you know, for me, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, that's not a big deal to me. You know, I got plenty of time to hit home runs and to lose money and to move on and move forward. But, you know, if you're 75 years old and someone's saying, here's my deal, it's a 10-year hold, you might not be so inclined to do that. And so yeah. Rightfully so. And then there's also, when we say multifamily, there's so many ways that you could approach multifamily, right? I mean, we could be talking about you being a general partner doing your own deal. We could talk about you being a limited partner like I am, investing in someone else's deal. We could be talking about you purchasing a publicly traded REIT, a real estate investment trust. And so that does have liquidity to it, but it also has volatility to it, ups and downs. So you're putting a lot of trust in someone else, in something that's illiquid, okay? And that's what it is. So if you think, you know, I'm going to put 100K in this investment, I might need that 100K back next year, probably not the right thing for you to invest in, you know. And it's not to say that you can never get out of these deals. People can buy your shares. It's just privately traded. So there's no open public market for someone to swoop in and take your shares off your hands in half a millisecond. It's more like you go find somebody or ask around if anyone's interested in buying out your shares. You might take a profit, you might take a loss, but anyway, those are a few things to consider, you know, reasons why you may not want to invest in this asset class. And the last thing I'll say is your beliefs on interest rates, cap rates, the future of the economy, the, you know, regulation in the political scene. I mean, if your beliefs are something different, then we're going to need affordable housing in the United States for the next 5, 10, 15 years. If you don't think that's true, or you don't think real estate for some reason, if you think real estate's in a bubble or whatever, well, then yeah, you may not want to lock your money up for 5, 10 years in something like that. Something to consider. It's about your risk tolerance, really.
That's a good point. We could be talking about this forever, but on that note, I connect with, and I have the opportunity, just like you, to connect with hundreds of, if not thousands, of investors and real estate professionals on a yearly basis. And the conversations are sometimes, what strikes me as odd is like, I'm not going to invest in real estate. Well, why? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Don't you wish you would have invested in real estate like 2018 BC before COVID? Yeah, of course. Because where are the prices now? Whether it's single family, a duplex try, or any kind of multifamily deal, of course. You know, yeah, you have like a little bit of pain going through COVID, but was it really that bad for investors? Maybe, maybe not, depending on what you're doing. If you're an Airbnb investor, you kind of got screwed. But if you were a single family, multifamily investor, specifically on an LP, you're doing just fine. Then the overarching question of, well, do I even want to invest in the United States? Now I think that's just completely dumb. If you don't want to invest here, then fine. Go check out any other country in the world, and then you'll quickly find out, wait a minute, the United States is one of the best countries to still invest in for at least the next century. And if you're bullish on the United States of America, then pick up some property. You in 50 years or 20 years will thank yourself today for buying property in this country. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox now. Travis, this is fun. I really appreciate it, man. Where can folks find out more about Ashcroft Capital and maybe even some of the LP positions they might be able to invest in?
Sure. Yeah. Ashcroftcapital.com/Travis. I've got a lot of resources and my team continues building that out. So I've got some downloadable PDF guides. If you want to hop on a one-on-one phone call with me, whether or not we're talking about Ashcroft Capital, or if you just have questions in general about being, you know, an LP investor or limited partner in syndications, I'm trying to be a voice for other people who want to be limited partners. To your point earlier, you might be a doctor, dentist, lawyer, attorney, professional athlete, just someone like myself that was just a busy W-2 worker back when. And you may be thinking, hey, maybe this is a diversification play for me, or, you know, whatever, self-directed IRA investing, whatever it is. I'm just here to speak out to it, because we have a lot of folks in this industry speaking out to the active side. Here's how to do your own deal. Here's how to be a general partner. Here's how to flip a house. I'm the guy saying, look, if you want to be a little more hands-off with it, that's what I do. And I'm happy to share if I can help you. So ashcroftcapital.com/Travis is probably the best way to reach me.
Yeah, man, I'm picking up what you're throwing down. Like why would you do hard work? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I'm 5'5" and 130 pounds. Like, I go to the gym and I'll pick up a 5-pound dumbbell because it's not 10 pounds. Like, it is the easier option. You know, I don't do bicep curls. That's like not my, I'm watching myself on TV. I don't do that. It's hard work. Who wants to do hard work? I'd rather sit in here and just collect the check. Travis, give me my money, right? Like, that's all that I care about. And if we can have that conversation, that's great. Now, dude, you've been great. Would love to have you back, continue the conversation as we go into 2022, 2023. Obviously, market shift, and so it'd be interesting to see kind of what your perspective on it is. Everybody, definitely check out ashcroftcapital.com/Travis. If you do backslash, it's not the same thing, just so you know. I don't know why people still don't know this. It's a forward slash. If you go backslash, you're going to get like a 404 error, so please don't do that. Travis, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Abby. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see ya. Think Realty Nation, this next segment is brought to you by Ashcroft Capital. Ashcroft Capital is a national multifamily syndication firm founded by Joe and Frank. Ashcroft focuses on capital preservation while striving to return strong risk-adjusted cash-on-cash returns to investors. The firm specializes in value-add real estate in Texas, Georgia, and Florida. Learn more by going to www.ashcroftcapital.com/Travis or by calling 954-342-6154. So this next segment, I'm excited for this next segment because Think Realty has a super awesome opportunity for you, and it's the Government Relations Committee. I'm not going to tell you about it because I have my friends Eddie Wilson and Chris Ragland, who are significantly better looking than me, to tell you about it. I'll throw it over to them right now.
Hey, Think Realty, Eddie Wilson here, the founder of Think Realty, along with Chris Ragland, and we've got a brand new opportunity for you, as well as Think Realty. Over the past couple of years, in the American Association of Private Lenders, which many of you know I own that as well, Chris has chaired our Government Relations Committee. We've made massive headway with legislation and all things concerning legislation with lenders. We're trying to do that same exact thing within Think Realty and the real estate investment space. We've asked Chris to come over and chair our Government Relations Committee for Think Realty, and Chris has an awesome vision for it. So if you don't mind, talk to our viewers about what you expect and what the vision is for the GRC.
Sure. So for the past several years, I've been working with a lot of private lenders in our space, and we've been able to bring a team together to help advocate for private lenders in a variety of ways, right? So we've worked at state level, we've worked at the national level, and to be honest, we've made a real impact. So this has been going on for a number of years now. I can talk about some of those things that we've done here in a minute, but the vision and what we're trying to do now, I'm over here working with real estate investors, people like yourself, and we want you to know that honestly, your voice isn't being heard. And that's why we're forming the Government Relations Committee for Think Realty. We're gonna get a few of these difference makers, people just like you, come in here, join this committee so that we can organize, so that we can be vocal, and so that we can be the mouthpiece for the other real estate investors that are out there. So I'm really excited to be here. What a really cool opportunity.
It's awesome. Yeah, and so we've made some massive impact with the American Association of Private Lenders. We intend to make the same impact for Think Realty. Do you mind just taking a second and talking about the impact that we've already made for the American Association of Private Lenders?
Sure. You know, it's easy for people to think that, like, I can't make a difference, or even an organization that I'm a part of and I'm volunteering with, truly, like, are we really making a difference? And I can say firsthand, I have watched us not only influence and help modify legislation at the state level and at the federal level, but we've actually swatted down legislation, right? So we did some action in Florida, we did action in New York, we literally went out and visited and educated people at the federal level, like, this is what's going on, this is how you're impacting us. So we've actually done that. We made significant impact and inroads for private lenders in terms of the reporting requirements, what an accredited investor is. I mean, how many other organizations do you know are sourced when they revise, like, the guidelines for what accredited investors were? Well, I know of one, and it was the American Association of Private Lenders. So that's the type of impact that we're capable of making.
And that's what we really expect to happen at Think Realty. We know that there are a lot of legislative issues concerning rental programs and the eviction moratorium and all that we've just seen recently. A lot of things that are impacting real estate investors, and Chris is just the guy to head this committee. He's passionate about it. He's already proven with our other association, and we know the days ahead are going to be fantastic for Think Realty, making an impact with our legislators and our government bodies to make sure that you're represented. So we need a couple of you to step up and be a part of this committee. If you're interested, please let us know. Go to our website, our contact page, and let us know. And Chris will be your point of contact, and we know that we're going to make big impact in days ahead.
Looking forward to working with you guys.
And thanks, guys. Certainly appreciate you doing that. Listen, the Think Realty GRC is a huge opportunity to get involved from a legislative perspective. You need the information, and you can do so much more to influence what's happening in Washington. So I highly recommend that you join and participate. That's the show. I hope you learned a lot today about multifamily real estate investing. Listen, I don't think ever going to be in a GP kind of role. I just can't deal with the stress. I don't want to deal with actually operating anything. I'm your ideal LP investor. And I hope maybe you consider that as well for your portfolio, because you want your money to do all the hard work. Stop doing the hard work. You're already a high net worth individual. Stop it. Right? Like, go relax and, you know, grab a mimosa while somebody else does all the hard work for you and you get a preferred return and a waterfall. That being said, get in touch if you have any questions. You can find me anywhere online at Abhi Golhar. You can find all the other episodes of Think Realty, of the Think Realty podcast at thinkrealty.com/podcast. And can't do this podcast without the help of our sponsors. Want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's show, Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator and ready to learn how to go big and fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition and education company who's here to help you invest for your family's future every step of the way. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. Think Realty Nation, until next time, happy investing.